This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine passing a law to ban a file that has already been downloaded 10 billion times.
Yeah, it's practically impossible, right?
Right. Today, we are looking at this massive collision between the math of artificial intelligence, which inherently wants to just be everywhere, and, you know, the geopolitical laws that are desperately trying to put it in a cage. So welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
If you are joining us, you are probably feeling that that constant tidal wave of information overload regarding AI. And our mission today is to just cut through all of that for you. We're zooming in on a seismic shift because the whole building and tinkering phase of AI is basically in the rearview mirror now. And we are moving headfirst into the regulation and geopolitics phase.
Exactly. Which means the stakes have moved from the server room to the boardroom and, well, frankly, to the situation room. We are waking up to this really messy reality of how these tools actually integrate into human systems and global power structures.
Yeah, it's not just about the code anymore. It's about the new rules of global engagement. And to help us navigate this, we're unpacking a really fascinating piece of source material. We're looking at the AI Daily Briefing Report dated July 21st, 2026.
It's a fantastic breakdown.
It really is. But before we jump in, I need to make a very specific note about where this information comes from. So this material and the expert commentary included in it was provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Right, and we should clarify that.
Yeah, just to be crystal clear for you listening, lawyer Kyung Jin Kim and former lawmaker Kyung Jin Kim are the exact same person. So for the rest of our discussion today, we're simply going to refer to him as lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Sounds good. And his insights in this report really anchor our understanding of the legal mechanics happening on the ground today. You know, it provides this critical lens for separating all the political rhetoric from the actual legal liabilities that businesses are facing right now.
Definitely. So here's our roadmap. We are going to start with the immediate legal reality taking effect literally today in South Korea.
Big day for them.
Huge. Then we'll zoom out and look at the escalating AI regulatory battle between the United States under the Trump administration and China. And finally, we will look at how the financial markets are digesting all of these wild, you know, seemingly contradictory moves.
It's a lot to cover, but it all connects.
It does. Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start with what is happening right now. Because while the rest of the world is locked in endless philosophical debates about how to regulate AI, South Korea is actually putting laws on the books.
Right. They are moving fast.
Very fast. Today, July 21st, 2026, South Korea's Framework Act on AI Enforcement Decree goes into full effect.
And we are talking about the world's first comprehensive AI law to actually reach the enforcement stage. I mean, this isn't a white paper or, you know, a set of voluntary guidelines anymore.
No, it's real.
It's the law of the land. It brings a very concrete compliance burden to any entity operating within or even just touching the South Korean market.
Yeah, and the report breaks down some very specific immediate requirements. The big ones really center on transparency.
Mm-hmm. If a business is providing what the new law calls high-impact AI, or if they're offering products and services made with generative AI, they have to notify users beforehand. Like, they are legally required to put a clear label on AI-generated products.
Right, and to manage all that, the Ministry of Science and ICT has set up a formal verification process to actually determine if an AI is indeed high impact.
And how long does that take?
Well, that process has a baseline of 30 days, and the ministry can extend it once for another 30 days if they need more time to analyze the system.
Wow. Okay. So it's essentially creating a mandatory building code for algorithms.
That is exactly it. Mm. In the same way you can't just throw up a skyscraper without the city inspectors verifying your structural blueprints, South Korea is demanding that AI developers submit their systems for government verification before they just release them into the public infrastructure.
I really like that building code metaphor. It makes a lot more sense than just calling it a nutritional label.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I have to push back a bit based on the source material.
Go for it. The briefing mentions that the government is providing a one-year grace period for the administrative fines associated with this new law.
Ah, yes.
So if I am a tech CEO looking at my quarterly budget today, I'm probably thinking, well, I can just ignore this for 12 months. Why should I spend money on compliance right now if the government cannot actually penalize me until July 2027?
See, what's fascinating here is the precise legal distinction, and this is where lawyer Kyung Jin Kim's commentary becomes absolutely essential. He points out a massive trap that companies are highly likely to fall into.
A trap. How so?
Well, that one-year grace period, it applies purely to the administrative fines levied by the state. It does not delay the underlying legal duty itself.
No. How?
Yeah. The legal obligation to notify users, to label content, and to verify high-impact AI that is active today.
Wait, so you are saying that if a company just cruises along for the next year thinking they have a fine holiday, they're actually accumulating a hidden mountain of liability?
Precisely. If a company fails to comply starting today, they are technically breaking the law for every single day of that grace period.
That is wild.
Right. And the second that one-year window closes, the state, or even private citizens filing class action lawsuits, can look back at the past 12 months of operations. The business risks massive retroactive legal trouble because the law was in effect. Only the immediate administrative ticketing was paused.
That is a terrifying blind spot for a business. I mean, it's like driving 100 miles an hour past a speed camera, knowing the camera won't mail you the ticket for a year, but forgetting that your insurance company and the police are still recording every single violation.
That's a great way to put it. And lawyer Kyungjin Kim explicitly warns against missing this distinction. His actionable advice is that businesses need to immediately audit their internal service lists.
So no waiting around.
Exactly. They need to proactively determine if they're using high-impact AI and get that verification process started with the Ministry of Science and ICT right now. Waiting until the grace period is almost over just guarantees a bottleneck and, exposes the company to severe retroactive risk.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you listening? If you are running a business, building software, or managing digital content that touches the South Korean market, your compliance burden became a reality today.
Yep. The clock has started.
But, South Korea is building these domestic codes to protect users. When we transition to the United States, we see an entirely different approach.
Very different.
The U.S. isn't just trying to build a domestic building code. They are trying to construct a geopolitical fortress.
The contrast is striking, really. In the U.S., AI regulation is increasingly viewed through the lens of national security and great power competition, specifically aimed at containing foreign technological advancement.
Yeah, and the briefing details that the Trump administration is reviving a major push to regulate Chinese AI models, which was triggered heavily by the release of China's Kimi K3 AI model.
Right.
And before we get into the mechanics of this, I think we need to state clearly for everyone, we are looking at these developments strictly from an impartial policy perspective.
Absolutely.
We are not taking sides. We aren't endorsing any political viewpoint, left or right, U.S. or China. We are simply unpacking the moves on the geopolitical chessboard exactly as they're reported in the briefing.
Because the intersection of technology and statecraft is highly charged. Our goal is just to understand the mechanics of the policies being proposed and how they structurally impact the global tech ecosystem.
Exactly. And the regulatory cards the U.S. is considering, they are heavy hitters.
They really are.
According to Axios and other sources in the briefing, they are looking at adding Chinese AI research labs to the entity list. We are also seeing drafts of cyber threat advisories from the National Security Agency and the White House Office of the National Cyber Director.
And it goes further than that.
Right. There is a drafted executive order that would require U.S. companies hosting Chinese models to guarantee the security of those models, alongside Commerce Department supply chain rules targeting Chinese open source AI.
Let's actually examine the mechanism of that entity list, because it is far more than just a diplomatic reprimand.
How does it actually work?
When a foreign lab is placed on the entity list, it creates a physical supply chain chokehold. Any company, anywhere in the world, that uses U.S. origin technology is legally barred from selling to that lab without a special, highly restrictive license.
Ah, I see.
It is designed to cut off their access to the physical hardware and advanced chips that are absolutely necessary to train frontier models.
But the report highlights a massive internal debate within the U.S. regarding these moves. White House AI advisor David Sachs warns that this might not purely be about national security.
Yeah, his perspective is really interesting.
He argues that closed model AI labs, the massive proprietary U.S. companies, might just be using the government's regulatory power to eliminate their open source competitors.
Which sounds like classic regulatory capture.
Exactly. Where corporate entities use national security as a Trojan horse to just kill off free competition. So, are we watching a genuine effort to secure critical infrastructure? Or is this just a corporate turf war drafted into foreign policy?
And that raises such an important question. Lawyer Kyungjin Kim provides some really grounding commentary here, though. He advises that we need to carefully distinguish between things that are under review and things that are actually in effect.
Right, because right now they're mostly drafts.
Exactly. Drafts of executive orders and commerce rules are still just drafts. But he also points out a fundamental technological hurdle that the U.S. government is facing. The very nature of open weight models.
Right, the open weights dilemma.
Yes. This is where the geopolitical ambition totally clashes with the physics of the technology. Unlike a cloud service, where a provider can simply, you know, revoke access or shut down the server, an open weight model means the underlying architecture and the trained parameters are freely downloadable.
It is like trying to regulate the wind by putting up a fence.
That's a perfect analogy.
I mean, the U.S. is drafting executive orders aimed at massive cloud servers, but an open weight model can just be downloaded and run locally. Once a user downloads that file onto their private hardware, the jurisdiction doesn't match the physics of the technology anymore.
No, it doesn't.
You cannot force a recall on a piece of math that has been copied onto thousands of hard drives globally.
And lawyer Kang Jin Kim emphasizes this physical reality. And an outright total ban on open weight models is practically impossible to enforce.
So what's his advice?
Well, his practical takeaway for domestic companies utilizing these tools is critical. He says if your workflow involves Chinese models, you need to map out your hosting paths and your data flows right now. Do not wait for the drafts to become final regulations, because the compliance window is going to be incredibly short and the penalties will be severe.
Okay, so the U.S. is trying to build a regulatory moat around this invisible, downloadable asset. But when we look at China's response, they aren't trying to breach that U.S. moat. They are draining the water entirely by just giving the asset away for free.
Yes, China's strategy is maximum proliferation.
The numbers provided by China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, or MIIT, they just reveal the sheer scale of this approach.
It's a highly calculated counter-strategy to those U.S. sanctions.
Totally. As of July 20th, Chinese open-source large models have crossed 10 billion global downloads.
The number is just staggering.
10 billion. And their domestic adoption is accelerating rapidly, too. The MIT announced that AI adoption in Chinese manufacturing has officially broken the 30% mark.
And crossing that 30% threshold is vital. It indicates that the technology has moved out of the, you know, the experimental pilot program phase.
Right, it's real implementation.
Exactly. It's now integrated into core day-to-day production processes. It's achieving critical mass in their industrial base.
But they are not stopping at their borders. They are aggressively pushing this technology into the global south. The briefing outlines a plan to train 5,000 AI talents in developing nations over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're also distributing a highly advanced weather model named Mazu to 30 different countries. Now, at first glance, giving away a weather model sounds like, you know, a nice diplomatic gesture. But mechanically, how does this actually build geopolitical soft power?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, distributing Mazu is a masterclass in infrastructural lock-in.
Lock-in. Okay, unpack that.
Think about it. Weather forecasting dictates agriculture, shipping logistics, disaster response, everything. When a developing nation integrates a Chinese AI model into those critical sectors, their entire economic backbone becomes tethered to Chinese updates, Chinese developer ecosystems, and Chinese data standards.
Oh, wow. So by embedding their technology into the supply chains and infrastructure of developing nations, they are making themselves indispensable.
Precisely.
The U.S. can write all the entity list rules they want, but China's response is to just weave their code into the fabric of half the planet.
Yeah, the geopolitical clash between the open source camp and the closed source camp has fully transitioned into state policy now.
Hmm.
China is utilizing open source proliferation as a direct weapon against U.S. regulatory choke points.
But here is where it gets really interesting. We just walked through this intense geopolitical chess match, right?
Hmm.
Bans, entity lists, cyber threat advisories, global proliferation strategies.
Attention.
You would logically assume the financial markets would be panicking. With all this regulatory uncertainty and looming trade war escalation, tech stocks should be incredibly volatile.
Yeah, you would expect a high degree of risk aversion. Investors should be pulling capital out of the semiconductor and AI sectors until the regulatory dust finally settles.
But the data from July 20th shows a massive contradiction. Despite all this geopolitical tension, AI chip stocks rebounded aggressively.
It's fascinating.
The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, the SOX, went up 2.3%. The NASDAQ 100 went up 1%. And NVIDIA, you know, the company sitting at the absolute epicenter of this geopolitical storm, held steady at $211.72. Yeah. Furthermore, KeyBank actually raised their target price for NVIDIA to $330.
And the underlying drivers for that price action really reveal the deep disconnect between Washington and Wall Street.
Let's talk about those drivers, because the report notes that NVIDIA actually received approval to sell their advanced H200 chips to China.
It's huge.
Right. And let's make sure we define what the H200 is, because it is not just another piece of hardware. It is the physical bottleneck of the entire AI industry. Without these high-end compute chips, you physically cannot train the massive frontier models we are talking about.
Exactly.
So Wall Street is looking at a quarterly earnings spreadsheet, observing that NVIDIA is still selling the ultimate picks and shovels of the gold rush, while Washington is looking at a 10-year geopolitical map, drafting executive orders citing severe cyber threats from Chinese AI. How do these two realities even coexist?
Honestly, it is the defining contradiction of this current era. The financial pragmatism of the market is completely overriding the geopolitical worst-case scenarios envisioned by policymakers.
So you are saying investors simply do not care about the drafted executive orders?
They weigh the immediate verifiable revenue against the abstract pending regulatory threat. The approval for NVIDIA to sell H200 chips to China is a perfect example of this friction.
Yeah, it really is.
Because while the overarching U.S. policy might be containment and restriction, the day-to-day administrative decisions within the Commerce Department often still favor commerce, especially when it involves a company whose hardware is, you know, foundational to the U.S. stock market's growth.
Right. So the market sees the approval for the hardware sales, prices in that massive revenue, and just ignores the long-term geopolitical noise about software bans.
Pretty much.
It just goes to show how complex this ecosystem really is. The government is trying to ban the software while simultaneously approving the sale of the physical hardware required to build that software.
And this dynamic reinforces why the market views certain foundational companies as the ultimate safe havens.
Yeah.
The report notes that NVIDIA's position as the last stock to be sold in a downturn was reaffirmed by this price action. Even amidst a swirling regulatory storm, the entities that control the physical compute power are viewed as indispensable. And that basically shields them from the broader geopolitical volatility.
Wow. Okay, let's take a breath and recap where we have traveled today, because we have covered a massive amount of ground.
We really have.
We started with the very real immediate compliance reality of South Korea's AI enforcement decree. And thanks to lawyer Kunjin Kim's insights, we uncovered that hidden trap of the one-year fine grace period.
Right, a crucial detail.
We learned that the legal liability begins today, meaning proactive audits and verification processes must start immediately to avoid severe retroactive penalties down the line.
And then moving from domestic compliance to international statecraft, we examined the United States' efforts to construct a regulatory fortress.
Using all those heavy-handed mechanisms.
Right. By utilizing mechanisms like the entity list and drafted executive orders, the U.S. is attempting to contain foreign AI development. Though, as we discussed, they face the physical impossibility of recalling open-weight models that are already in the wild.
Meanwhile, China is executing the exact opposite strategy. They are leaning heavily into open-source proliferation, hitting 10 billion global downloads, deeply integrating AI into their domestic manufacturing base, and aggressively exporting foundational models like Mazu to lock developing nations into their technological ecosystem.
And through all of this friction, the stock market remains remarkably pragmatic. Investors are focused on the tangible revenue of H200 chip sales, creating this bizarre reality where the physical hardware flows freely even as governments try to ban the resulting software.
Which brings us back to why this all matters to you.
Exactly. Whether you are building a new digital product, managing supply chains, analyzing investments for your portfolio, or simply trying to stay informed as a citizen of a rapidly changing world, understanding these diverging global rules is no longer optional.
No, it's really not.
The legal and political architecture surrounding artificial intelligence is now just as critical to grasp as the underlying algorithms themselves.
You just cannot separate the math from the politics anymore. Which leaves me with one final lingering thought for you to chew on today.
I love these.
We talked about China hitting 10 billion downloads of their open source models. 10 billion. These models are now permanently integrated into millions of local computers, servers, and industrial devices across entirely porous digital borders.
They're everywhere.
Right. If an AI model has been downloaded 10 billion times globally, integrated into the daily workflow of a teenager's laptop in Brazil just as easily as a server in Beijing, does the concept of a national AI model even exist anymore? In a world of open weight downloads, can any single government actually regulate a piece of math that is already everywhere? Keep digging, keep questioning the information around you, and we will catch you next time on The Deep Dive.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow China AI, Robotics and Semiconductor Briefing on Apple Podcasts.